Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the first wide line on Daf Mem Zayin. More than halfway down the page, you can see the first wide line, and you'll notice Rav, his name appears in a special marking we call the firebox. The reason for that is readily apparent when you notice the introduction that we have on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Klali heading. Nosei Klali is a general topic heading, and we've written on the side Ad Mem Ches Omid Beis. It means we're about to begin a very long discussion, a long sugya, and the title of the long sugya is Hamikadesh Bemilveh, one who attempts to marry a woman. What is he giving her? Well, he's giving her the release of a debt that she owes him. In other words, he's forgiving a loan that she had borrowed money from this man. Is that effective? Is that considered a kiddushin? Now, the firebox indicates a name or an idea that will preoccupy us for at least an omid of Gemara. In this case, it's going to preoccupy us for practically two daf of Gemara. And that's the opening statement, Omar Rav, we read in the Gemara, HaMekadesh Bemilveh Eino Mekudeshes. One who attempts to marry a woman by relieving her of a loan she owes him, and we're going to add importantly, even if the borrowed money hasn't been spent yet on her part. She borrowed money, it's sitting in her drawer, it's money that she took from him as a loan. If the man tries to forgive the loan and say, instead of paying me back, be married to me, so Rav says, it does not work. Eino mekudeshes. Why not? Milveh lahoitzo nitna. A loan is given for spending. And I'll add, for immediate spending. Even if the person elects to hold off on spending the borrowed money, nevertheless, when it's extended with that intent. Therefore, when he relieves her of the loan, she is in our mind's eye already spent the money, so he is not giving her anything at the point that he relieves her of the loan. He's forgiving on the loan, that's very nice, but that doesn't constitute his giving her something. And in order for a marriage to be effective, he has to give her something of either money or something of money value. Structurally, we have something somewhat unusual in terms of length. We have the diamonds that appear, and on the side of the Gemara, we have under our Mivneh heading, you'll notice a diamond is featured, and we also indicate until Mem Ches Omid Aleph. That means if you scan ahead in your Gemaras, in your marked Gemaras, you'll notice diamonds appearing periodically. You'll see there are four of them. They represent four nisyonos lehamid dinoi shelRav kimachlokes tanoim. Four attempts to set up Rav's point as a tanaic controversy. Generally speaking, it's not the best situation for an amoira to find that his ruling is not accepted unanimously by the Tanoim, so that this presents a problem for Rav if we say that what he says is in fact a Machlokes Tanoim. generally speaking, you'll see that happening in our sugya, that the Gemara will say no, what Rav says is not emachlokes tanoim, and that source that the Gemara presents suggesting that it was a machlokes tanoim has a machlokes in it, but concerning something else, not that which Rav said. So you will notice, as I said, four diamonds. It's very, since Gemara markings is a visually oriented style of learning, we recommend scanning ahead. If you have the dapim in front of you or on your computer screen, you'll scroll ahead and you'll notice diamonds appearing immediately, and on Mem Zayin Omid Beis, you'll notice on the lower third of the page, and on Mem Ches Omid Aleph, you'll notice two more diamonds as you scan down the page. You can well imagine that at each juncture, a machlokas tanoim is presented, and the attempt is to show that Rav's halacha is a tenaya controversy. Each time that happens, the Gemara will question that attempt, and then have to re-explain the machlokas tanoim as having reference to something else. So that each diamonded section of Gemara represents an entire, we'll say, sub-discussion in and of itself. But it's important right at the beginning to note the superstructure of the Gemara. Rav's din, we just learned, and now attempts along the way to say that what he says is a machlokes tanoim. Let's continue in the Gemara. Neima ketanoi. Shall we say that Rav's halacha is a tanaic controversy? Hamakadish b'milve eino mekudeshes v'yesh omrim mekudeshes. In looking at this source, you'd be wondering, how can you get out of saying that it's a machlokes tanoim? It seems black on white. Here you've got it, word for word. The Tanakhama says one who's mekadesh b'milve, it's ineffective, she's not married. And the Yesh Omrim, another opinion in the source, says she is married. Well, my lav behal komiflegi. Is it not so that it is in this that they are arguing? The Morsovra Milva Lohoitsa Nitna, the Tanakama that said she's not Mikudeshes, holds like Rav, like the opinion that Rav expressed, that a loan is given for immediate expenditure, so that when he subsequently offers to marry her in exchange for relieving of the loan, he isn't giving her anything. Umor Sovra and the Yesh Omrim holds Milva Lav Lohoitsa Nitna. The loan is not given in mind with the thought that it's to be spent immediately. And if that be the case, so that when he relieves her of the loan, the money is there, it's extant, and his relieving of her loan is then tantamount to her giving that sum of money to her as kesef kiddushin. The Gemara rejects this. You'll notice we have a new marking, the volcano shape on the side of the Gemara. This volcano shape, which you see here and later, are kushios al hodi omar rav milve lohitsa nitna. These are questions on that, we'll say, on that analysis, that a loan is something given for immediate expenditure. Fitisbara. Tisbara, you can see, has as the root of the word is sovar, or svora. That means explain yourself. Emo seifa. Continue reading that source, and it says, v'shovim, there is agreement, b'mecher, in the case of a sale, sheze kona, that it works, it clinches the deal. What does that mean? So that means as follows. Mr. B had borrowed money from Mr. A. So Mr. A is a lender of money. Mr. A sees in Mr. B's possession some item or whatever that he wants to buy. So the malveh, Mr. A, says, you owe me money. forget the loan, I'm relieving you of the loan, and in exchange for my relieving of you of the loan, so then I acquire the item that you have that I'm interested in. E amris milvelo itso nitno. If you're going to say that when a loan is taken out, it's viewed as immediately spent by the borrower, in other words, the money isn't there anymore. B'mai koni, in this source, v'shovim b'mecha shezer kona, what was the mechanism that enabled the deal to be clinched? Omar Rav Nachmon. Rav Nachmon tells us that Huna Chavrin, our colleague Huna, moikim lo b'mili ochri. He approaches this Tanaic source in a totally different way, in a way that we weren't thinking of till now. In other words, the source is not dealing with a loan that the borrower took from the lender. So what is the source talking about? The source that read Hamekadesh b'milva ena mekudeshes v'yesham mekudeshes, and it had the seifa saying v'shava mecheshes koshes ekona. What are we talking about? Kegoin she'omar lo, a man said to a woman, hiskachi li b'mona, be married to me for, we'll just use terms that, as we're making this recording, are probably familiar to most of our listeners. We'll say mona is $100. Be married to me for $100. And he gives her money, he gives her cash, v'nimtza mona chaser dinar. And when she counts out the cash, it turns out that it's $100 minus a dinar. A dinar is a fraction of the $100. It's a smaller denomination of currency. And the man says, oh, it's missing a dinar, so let the dinar be considered like a loan. In other words, I owe you the dinar. More sovar, the Tanakama, who said she's not married, why not? Ksifa la milsa limit be'e. Ksifa is a word associated with embarrassment. It's embarrassing for her after having received such a high percentage of the hundred. Let's say she received $95 of the $100. For her to seek out and say to him, where's the $5 that you owe me? She'd be embarrassed. She wants it though, but she'd be embarrassed to collect it. And therefore, she doesn't have her mind or a sense of agreement to marriage, having received only 95 of the $100. Being that the other $5, she knows she's not going to collect, but at the same time, she really wants it. She's not going to collect it because it's embarrassing for her. Umor sovar, the second opinion, the yesh omrim, lo ksifa lo milsa l'mitbei. It's not beneath her dignity to seek it out. She'll seek it out. So upon receiving the money, she agrees to the marriage. And as far as the balance is concerned, the amount that we called a milveh, a loan, and as we said, it's simply money that the balance that he owes her, she'll seek it out. She won't be embarrassed to ask for it. And the seifa of that source that said v'shava b'mechash yigzer kona, in a case of a simple business deal, a transaction, a sale and purchase, there everyone agrees that the deal will work because the seller who is expecting the full price won't be embarrassed to ask for the remaining amount that's owed to him. Question: the Elaha di Omar Rebbe Lozor his kachili b'mona. Man says to a woman, "Be married to me for $100." The nosan lo dinar, and he gave her a fraction of it, a dinar, so just a fraction of the $100, and the rest he accepts upon himself as a debt to her. And Rebbe Lozor says, "Hare zu mekudeshes." V'yashlim, she's married, and he simply has to pay her the balance. Lema ketanoi omra l'shmaitzei, should we say that the Amora, Rebbe Lazar, who taught this, that she is married, is in accordance, is based on only one of two Tanoim. He is a, in other words, he's taking a position that's a Tanaic controversy, that's controversial amongst the Tanoim, and that his ruling would fit in only with the opinion of the Yesh Omrim from before? Amri, so the Gemara answer is no. As we said, Amoroyim do not want to take positions that are not unanimously accepted by the Tanoim. So we will answer on behalf of Rebbe Lazar. Mona Choser Dinar, the case that was the Machlokes Tanoim that Rav Nachman presented, the Mona, the $100 missing just a fraction of it, there we say Ksifa Lo Milsa L'Mitbe. It's such a small amount that's missing, she's embarrassed to seek it out. Therefore, the Tanakhama says she won't be married because she really wants that small amount, but she knows at the same time she's not going to collect it because out of embarrassment. So she doesn't agree in her mind to the marriage. However, Mona Chosur Tishim V'Tisha, $100 missing, 99 of the $100, meaning she got a very small amount in reality, and the bulk is still outstanding. She's not going to be embarrassed to ask for that. And therefore, even according to the Tanakhama, the first opinion from above, in this case, she will be married because she's confident that she will get the balance. Meisve. Now we raise, again, a long question. This long question, you can see, takes you down the first seven lines of the first six lines of Omid Beis. So we have a long question in front of us, and the issue of Mekanish B'milve is going to come into question. So we have another question on Rav Meisvei Ha'oimer Le'isha Hiskachi Li B'Pikodom. We've used a double underlining to highlight the terms pikadon and milveh. So a man says to a woman, be married to me, but pikadon sheyesh li biyodech, in exchange for the entrusted article that I had given you to watch for me. She goes and finds that the item, the entrusted matter, is either stolen or is lost. If there remains of what she had received to watch a pruta worth of item, in other words, most of what she was given to watch was stolen, but there still remains a pruta's worth of that that was not stolen, she'll be married. Mekudeshes means in exchange for the that which she received as a pikadon, now being given to her as marriage money, marriage value, it will be an effective means of establishing the marriage. V'im lav, if nothing is left, or if so little is left that it's not worth a shove pruta, eino mekudeshes, she won't be married. Ubemilve, in the case of borrowed money, af al pi shelo nishtayer himenu shove pruta mekudeshes. Even if none of the loan money remains, she will be married for, in exchange for, the pleasure that she is receiving knowing that he has relieved her of the loan. Rashi says at the very end, Mekudeshes bahi hano temochil lo gabo. The pleasure that she has in knowing that the loan is relieved is worth a shavah pruta to her, at least. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Milveh Harei Hi Kepikadon. The way we treat the milveh is the same way we treat a pikadon. And that would mean that if some of the money is still there, then she'll be married. If none of the money is there, so then she won't be married. You can see we've already started the top of Omid Beis. So Harei Hi Kepikadon, the beginning of Omid Beis, is also the end of the source. Ad Kan Lo Pligi Elo. Up till this point, the machlokis is as follows: the more sover milve, afagav the lo nishtayer heimeno shove pruta. The Tanakama holds that regarding a loan, even if nothing remains, there's she spent all the money, she is still going to be married in exchange for the relief of the loan. More sovar. Nishtayer mena shofer pruta in v'iloi nishtayer heimena shofer pruta lo. If a pruta worth of money is still around, hasn't been spent yet, so she'll be married with the relief of the loan. If it has all been spent, then she won't be married. Avol de kule alma, but you can see from this that all opinions agree. Mekadesh b'milveh Mikudeshes, that the use of the, we'll say the relief of the loan is a means of establishing a marriage. That's not like Rav. So up to this point then, we finished another question on Rav. Here you have Tanoim that all agree that if there would be total agreement if some of the loan money hasn't been spent, she would be married. Rav said that even if all the loan money is still there, she will not be married. Rav had explained because milva lohitsa nitna, that when the loan is given, it's given with the idea of it being spent immediately, so that he's not giving her anything if he releases of the loan. These Tanoim don't agree. These Tanoim would say that if some of the loan is there and he relieves her of it, that will constitute marriage. In response to this, Rava enters the picture. Notice we have a long marking. All of these lines are ascribed to Rava. Omar Rava Vitisbara. Explain yourself. In raising a question on Rav from this source, is that legitimate? Ha metartzosa hi, ha mishabeshta hi. Is this source metartzosa, meaning accurate? Is it straight? No, it's mishabeshta, it's messed up. It's inaccurate. And the Gemara goes on to show how the source, as it appears, is inaccurate, and therefore we have to redo the source. We have to doctor up the source, and in doing so, the hope would be that Rav is not going to be in trouble. I hesitate to be any more detailed in saying what we hope to be up against or hope to be up with. You'll see why later. But initially, Rava is going to point out how the source, as it is not accurate. And he will then give us a rereading of the source. If your eye catches it, you can skim down a few lines and you'll see the Gemara says, Ela tritz hochi. At that point, Rava is telling you, straighten out the source to have it read as follows. And that will appear later. But in the meantime, let's see how the source is mishabeshta. Hai pikadon hefidomi. The source made reference to his marrying her through a pikadon. What's the case of the pikadon? What are the details? We know that he gave her something to watch. And in exchange for getting the item back, he offers her to marry him. What are the details, though? E de kobil ole achrayis. If you're talking about a case where the woman accepted to watch the item while at the same time accepting responsibility for it if something happens to it. Achrayus is a term referring to insurance or a guarantee. If that's the case, well, hainu milva, then it's the same thing as a case of a loan, where when you borrow money, you have full responsibility to pay it back. In other words, under all circumstances, whatever happens, you'll have to pay it back. So if you're describing the case of pikadon like that, where she accepted upon herself achrayus, that if it gets stolen, I'll pay you back, that's the same thing as a loan. Why repeat the same thing twice then? Rashi, four lines from the top, says, and let's learn it together. Hainu milveh, kevon shenignav. If the item, or once the item is stolen, v'nischayev boi, and then she becomes responsible to make good on that, nimsa milveh etzla. The item, in the event she can't return the item itself because it got stolen, so the value of the item is then like a loan. She owes the value. V'kevon detona b'milveh. And since the source taught regarding milveh, afalpi shelo nishtayer mekudeshes, even if nothing of the loan is still around, she is married. Pikodonami shelo nishtayer tiskadesh bay. With regard to the pikodon as well, even if nothing is left, she should be married through it. And yet the source didn't say that. The source made a distinction with some of it still intact versus none of it being intact. So that the Gemara is asking, essentially, if it's a case of pikodon where she accepted responsibility, then it's the same as a milveh, and the standards that we apply to the milveh should have been applied to the pikodon, namely, that even if nothing is left of it, she should be married. Let's continue. E delo kabil olei achrayus. We're back in the Gemara. If she did not accept responsibility for the watched item, then e hachi adetoni seifa. If so, then instead of the seifa, the continuation of the source teaching us, this is a quote from the original source of a milveh. In the case of a loan, even if nothing is left of it, she spent it all, she is married. Niflog v'nisni b'didah. Make your distinction within the realm of pikadon. Why? If the case of the pikadon in the source is a case where she didn't accept any responsibility over it, then you can teach two aspects of pikadon. Stay within the realm of pikadon and make the following distinction. Bamed v'mamurim, when is it that we require some of the pikadon to remain, a shove pruta of the pikadon remain intact? Shelo kiblo ole achrayas. That's when she did not accept any responsibility over it. Avol kibla olei achrayus, if she accepted responsibility over it, afal gav de lo nishtayer himeno shove pruta mekudeshes, even if nothing is left of it, of the pikadon, she would be married. Just like we suggested before when we spoke about a milveh, even if nothing is left, she would be married. Why mention milveh when you could have made a distinction within the realm of pikadon, as we just suggested? The source, though, didn't do that. So that is how Rava shows that the Tanaic source on Omen Aleph was inaccurate. So once we've established it's inaccurate, we discover what it should have said. Ela tritz hachi uva milveh, with regard to marrying a woman with an outstanding loan that she owes him, afal pi shenishtayer heimena shove pruta, Eino Mekudeshes. Even if some of the loan money is still around, she will not be married. Because of the idea of Milva Lahoitso Nitna. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir Milva Hare Hi Kepikadon. A Milva is like the case of Pikadon. Meaning, if some is left, she'll be Mekudeshes. So according to the Tanakama, in the case of a milve, even if a shava pruta remains, she's not mekudeshes, because milve lo hoitsa nitna. By the way, that's pretty good for Rav, because he's the one that said, mekadesh milveinu mekudeshes, because of milve lo hoitsa nitna, it's to be spent. So whereas, before Rava appeared on the scene, we said everyone will say Mekadish B'milve Mekudeshes. Here, and that would have been a big problem for Rav, here you have a Tana, the Tanakama, that's saying Eino Mekudeshes. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that Milve is like a Pikadon, meaning if some of it is left, if some hasn't been spent, then she will be Mekudeshes. So at this point, Rava finished his presentation, and the thinking is that the hope was that Rav would be better off than he was before. Whereas before Rava appeared, everyone was against Rav. Here you have a source in which Rav has someone to depend on, the Tanakama. However, is that the end of the story? Is it all good for Rav right now? B'mai komiflegin. And here, Rashi adds so much more to the words of the Gemara. Rashi says that, we're asking here, what are they arguing about? The Tanakama and Reb Shimon ben Elazar, as Rava restated them. If you're going to say that they're arguing how to look at a loan, if it's lahoitsa nitna, is it viewed as already spent as soon as she receives it, or not? Well, then we're back to where we started. We're saying then that Rav's din is a machlokes tanoim. We wanted to say that optimally, Rav should be accepted unanimously. So though we may have made some progress in the way Rava restated the source, giving Rav at least one Tanaic opinion to rely on, but still, we're not home free. If you're going to say that they're arguing concerning Milva Ilo Hitzon Nitna or not, so once again, Rav becomes a Machlokes Tanoim, a Tanoi. And we're trying to avoid that. Omar Rabba. Ashkachtinu L'Rabbonon Bebei Rav Diyasvi v'ko'amri. I met the rabbis, the students in the Bei Rav, in the yeshiva. They were sitting there and they were saying, and Rashi adds here that everyone agrees that milva lo hitzo nitna, and that Rav then is not a machlokes tanoim. So what are they arguing about? B'milve b'rishus bailim. One, l'chazora. Number two, v'uadin l'oinsin komiflegi. And we must add again another important point, and that the Tanaic source is talking about a case where none of the loan money had been spent. The more sovar milva birshus loiva kaima vuadin loinsen, the Tanakama who said she's not married. That's because the loan, once a person accepts the loan money, receives the loan money, it's in his domain or her domain. That's birshus loiva. The malva cannot ask for it back, even though none of it's been spent. So it's in the rishus of the loiva. And likewise, vuadin la'oinsin, that means if anything should happen to the money, so that that borrower will be responsible. If anything, even something of an onus nature, something beyond his control, happens to eliminate the money, the loave will be responsible. And therefore, once the loan is extended, it's considered in the domain of the borrower already. And therefore, relieving her of such a loan, he is not giving her anything. Umosovar, the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar, who quoted Rabbi Meir, holds milve brishus bailim kaimo, that as long as the money hasn't been spent, the malva is still said to be the one in control of the money. And it's likewise in his domain if anything should happen to it. And therefore, since it's considered still in his domain, even though physically the money had been extended to the woman who borrowed it, when he relieves her of the loan, he in effect is giving her something, because up till that point it was still in his domain to call the money back. Let's go over this through Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is a few lines up from here. Viko Amri, La'olam lahoitzo nitna divrei hakol. Everyone agrees, like Rav, that once a loan is extended, it's extended with the anticipation that it will be spent immediately. V'im sholach boyad lahoitzi mimena shavapruta. If she, let's say, handled the money with the intent of spending even a pruta worth of it, hare hichsik bohem, she has thereby taken possession of it. V'ein abayle michoim lachzor, the malve, the man who loaned her the money, cannot back out, cannot demand the money back. V'havile milve, and then it becomes a real milve. V'eino mikudeshes, and she's not going to be married. V'afilu rubo b'ein, even if the majority of the money is still there. But once she's been sholach boyad, once she's made an attempt, she's handled the money that she received, she reached into the pouch of money to spend even a pruta of it, that's it. That's, now it's a full-fledged milve and mekash milve eino mikudeshes. However, the circumstances in the source was not like that. In the source in which you saw the Tanakam and Shmuel Elazar arguing, it's a case where she hadn't spent any of the money, not even a pruta of the money. And therefore, Rav Shimon Elazar said she will be married in exchange for the relief of paying back. To Kosovar, because he's of, they've been a milva shi kulabain, a loan that's still fully intact, that hasn't been, that nothing of it has been spent. Bishus Bailim Hilachazar, it's considered in the lender's domain. In this case, the man who's lending her the money, it's in his domain. Legally in his domain, I should say, even though physically it's been transferred to her house. In bo malve lavzer bo l'toyva choizer, if he should demand the money back, he would be able to. Hilkoch hashto hu diavo niyalo. Therefore, when he is offering her that money as marriage money, even though physically it's in her domain, but she hasn't spent any of it, he is in effect giving her something. And likewise regarding oinsin, if anything should happen to those monies in an ones fashion, in some beyond her control matter, it's in his domain. The e misansi poter haloive. If an ones happens, some uncontrollable circumstance arises that eliminates the money, she will be exempt. It's not considered in her domain, being that none of it was spent. So that explains Rav Shimon Elazar why she is married. And we already explained that Tanna Kamma says that even if she hasn't spent any of it yet, it's still considered exclusively in her domain. the Malva cannot back out anymore once he gave it to her as a loan. But the central idea is that when some of it has been spent, even though the bulk is still there, everyone agrees that he cannot marry her anymore with the relief of that loan. V'aminu laho, and Rabba, who had met the Rabbanan giving their analysis, responds. We should have pointed out, just for general edification, that throughout the Shas, you find this structure of someone saying, I met up with the Rabbanan diyasvi v'ko'amri. When you see that, you're always going to expect a response to what they say. And in our markings throughout the Shas, we try to highlight that by squiggle underlining where you see diyasvi v'ko'amri, and v'aminu laho is now the response to what they were saying. So Rabbo says back to them, La'oinsin kli'amalo pligi d'bishus loive kaimi. As far as responsibility for making good on the money, if it gets lost through ones, there's no argument about that. Everyone agrees that it's in the loive's domain. He, the borrower, has to make good on it. My taima, why? Lo gora mishela, it's not any worse, it's not any, we'll say, weaker in terms of responsibility than a case of borrowing an item. Borrowing an item to use, you borrow someone's shovel, you borrow someone's scissors. What is the din? Ma she'ela, de hodra be'eno, chayav bo'insin. Mind you, a borrowed item that is returned, the item that you borrowed is itself to be returned. And we know, in the case of she'ela, if anything should happen to it, even if an onus arises, even if some extenuating or uncontrollable matter arises, eliminating the borrowed item, the borrower has to make good on it, has to compensate for it. Milvelo kol shekein, borrowed money, all the more so where the lender doesn't expect to get the very same coins back. So all the more so there is responsibility upon the borrower of money. The borrower of money will be obligated to compensate if an ones arises. So that's not a point of disagreement. Elohacha, the milva brishus bailin lechazor ikabinayu. If you notice, when we originally started this section with the Yasviv Kamri, we had pointed out one, Lechazora, and two, Huadin Lo'insin. What Rabbo is saying back to them is that the point two that you guys said is a machlokes, not according to me. According to me, point number two that you made regarding Lo'insin is not a point of Tanaic disagreement. The only point of disagreement is this issue of, can the lender ask for the money back before any of it has been spent? According to the Tanakama, he can't ask for it back. Therefore, when he offers the loan as Kiddushin, he says she's not Mikudeshes. He isn't giving her anything at that point. And Reb Shmuel Ozer says it is Birshus Bailim to Lechazar. He could have asked for the money, the unspent money, back, and instead he offers it to her as Kiddushin, so she will be married. Once again, because he could have asked for it back. V'elohodi Omar Rav Huna. Now we have a question. Rav Huna says, Hashoyel Kardo Mechaver, one who borrows a Kardo. We'll say it's an axe. He borrows an axe from his friend. Bika bo kanof, he chopped with it. So he acquires it. He borrowed it for, Rashi says, as an example, he borrowed it for 10 days. So if he used it, so then he kono, he acquires it, means it becomes his for the next 10 days, and the one who loaned him the axe cannot ask for it back within the 10 days. lo bika bo lo kono. If he didn't use it at all, it was given, he borrowed it, but it wasn't used at all, so then he doesn't acquire it. And that would mean that the owner can demand it back, even within the 10 days. So that's Rav Huna's teaching. Lema kitanoi omro l'shmaitzi, should we say that this teaching is a machlokas tanoim? Namely, what he says would work out only according to Rav Shimon Elazar, quoting Rabbi Meir above. We look at Rashi together. Lema kitanoi omra, de Rabbi Meir, im bika boi, konoi, lo bika boi, lo kono. If some was used, so then he acquires it. If it wasn't used, so it remains in the possession of the in the possession on demand of the original owner. Ulatana kamo, afilu lo bika bo nami. According to the Tanakhama, even if he didn't use it at all, the owner cannot ask for it back. Why would the Tanakhama take that point of view? The milveh eino birshus bailim l'chazora. That's what the Tanakhama said above when he said eino mekudeshes. The borrowed money is not in the domain of the owner to ask for it back. So we would have a problem here for Rav Huna. It would come out, as we said, that only according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who quoted Rabbi Meir, would Rav Huna's din have relevance. Namely, that if he didn't use it, so the owner could ask for it back, just like the Tanakhama said before, if none of the loan money was spent, the lender of the money can ask for it back. And with that, we understood why she would be married, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Gemara continues and says, no, have no fear, Rav Huna is not a machlokes tanoim. Mora says, lo. Ad kan lo pligi ela b'milve. The Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Elazar, quoting Rabbi Meir, have their argument in the case of a loan, cash, loan. The lo hodra be'eno. It is not something that's returned as is. Someone borrows money, even if they didn't spend a penny of it, when they return the loan, they don't have to return those coins, those bills that they received. They have to return the same value in other coins or other bills. That would be fine. It's not hodra be'eno. Hodra means return, be'en as it is. Aval b'she'ela, when it comes to borrowing an item, not borrowing money, but borrowing an item, the hodra be'eno, there, the item that you borrowed is the very same item that you are returning. There, the analysis is different. Divrei HaKol. Everyone will agree, all the Tanoim will agree with what Rav Huna said. Bika bo'in, if the borrower uses it, so then he can retain it for the entire borrowing period. Lo bika bo, lo kono, if he didn't use it yet, then he doesn't acquire it, and the owner can ask for it back, according to everybody. The diamond reappears, number two. So what does that indicate? It's another attempt to set up Rav's din of Mekadesh b'milva eino mekudeshes, and he explained, because milva lo yisa nitna, is a machlokes tanoim. We introduce this on the side with our Mivneh structural note, and again we remind you, until Mem Ches Omer Aleph, this discussion will continue. These are Od Nisyonos. I'm reading from the Mivneh note on the side, where we've written Od Nisyonos Lahamid Rav Kemachloikas Tanoim, a further attempts to set up Rav as a Tanaic controversy. the Gemara. Neimar ketanoi. Notice we have also a long question marking. Shall we say that Rav's din is a machlokas tanoim? We have a source that says hiskachi li b'shtar chov, be married to me with this shtar chov. Shtar chov, we're going to loosely translate as a debt, a written debt. O shohayalo milva b'yad achirim v'hir shalehem, or he had a loan that money was owed to him by others, and he assigned to her power to collect the money for herself. Rabbi Meir Omer Mekudeshes, V'chachomim Omerim Eino Mekudeshes. Rabbi Meir says that these are effective means of establishing a marriage, and the Chum say no. Hai Shtar Chov Hechidomi. The Shtar Chov referred to in this source, what's the nature of that Shtar Chov, bill of debt? Ilema Shtar Chov Dachirim. That it's debt owed to the man by others. Well, Hainu Milva Biyad Acherim, that's accounted for in the second example of the source. Others owed him money. El Olav Shtar Chov Dida. Rather, the first example in the source is money that she owed to him. And the debt was written out in a document that she owes him money. What did Rabbi Meir say? That his offer of marriage to B'shtar Chov is effective, and the Chachamim said it's not effective. So, Uve Mekadesh B'milve Komifligi. And the controversy here is, does the release of a loan enable a marriage to take place? Does his relieving her of the loan money she owes him work to establish their marriage? Well, if you say Mekash Vilva Komithligi, that means that Rav then is a Machlokes Tanoyim. And we've said already, that's not the best situation for an Amura. Gemara responds, the Oilom Shtar Choyv Dachirim. The source is not dealing at all with money she owes him. A case where she owed him money, he tries to marry her by relieving her of the loan, everyone will agree that's not effective. So the case of Shtar Chov in the source is in fact money others owe him. And you'll ask, but isn't that stated already in the Bayes example? V'hocha b'milva b'shtar u'v'milva al peh komiflugi. There are two cases to examples of where others owe him money. One is where they owe him money that was recorded in a document, and the other is where others owe him money, but al peh. And I want to point out, in both cases, we're dealing with the man, the lender of the money, transferring the right to collect these debts to the woman. He's enabling her to collect the debts. Regarding both of these types of debts, written, oral, we have a machlokas. Now, structurally, you see a house marking on the side of the Gemara. We explain tshuvos. These are answers. Lahamid hamoker b'tzura she'ena mamid rav ketanoi. We're setting up the source so as to avoid having Rav appear as a machlokas tanoim. We explained already that the source is not dealing with money she owed him. Rather, money others owed him, and he is transferring the rights to collect to the woman. Does that work in establishing a marriage? The Aleph highlights the house that says Bemilva Bishtar, and you notice the double underline b'mai pligi. We want to know what's the analysis regarding the milva b'shtar. And you skim ahead. You'll have to keep skimming till you get to the top part of mem ches omer aleph, and you'll see there b'milva al peh b'mai pligi. You might ask, why is there such a gap between the analysis of Milva Bishtar until you get to where the Gemara deals with Milva Alpeh. So I'll tell you ahead of time. In trying to figure out what the Tanaic controversy is surrounding Milva Bishtar, the Gemara is going to go through a number of stages to try to figure that out. And that's going to be highlighted with the triangle marking. If you look at the side of the Gemara, the triangle represents Hatzois, suggestions, B'machokim Hatanoim. What are the Tanaim arguing about? V'lo shemekadish b'milvehu nosea machlokis. And whatever explanation we offer, one thing is clear. We're not going to be saying that there's a controversy regarding Mekadish B'milveh. As we said, maybe we've repeated it too many times already, but in each time we're making sure that Rav does not come out as a Machlokes Tanoim. So then what is the Machlokes Tanoim? Let's see. The Gemara continues. B'milveh b'shtar b'mai pligging. Bepluto de Rebbe v'Rabbonon komifligi. Desanya. The machlokas before between the Tanakamo and, between Rebbe Meir and the Chachomim parallels the following machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachomim. Desanya. Osios niknois b'mesiro divrei Rebbe. Osios, generally speaking, is translated as letters, but in this case it means documents. Documents are acquired through Mesira, through handing it over. If you want to transfer a financial instrument that's recorded in a document, you can transfer that financial instrument by handing it over. That's Rebbe's opinion. V'chachomim omrim. The Chachamim say it's a little more complicated than that. They say, Bein shekosav lo mosar, bein shemosar v'lo kosav lo kono ad sheyichdo v'imsar. Kosav, the Chachamim refer to, is an additional document. A document of sale must be written concerning my selling you this financial instrument. So the Chachamim say whether you wrote such a shtar and didn't give the original financial instrument over, or you gave over the financial instrument without writing the additional document, lo kona, it's not an effective deal until you do both. Ad sheyichtov v'yimsar. So what happened in the case of the kiddushin, regarding the shtar chov? What happened was that he gave her the shtar chov, he gave her that financial instrument where others owed him money, but he didn't write an additional shtar, an additional document indicating his sale of the shtar chov. More, Isle de Rebbe Meir, who says she's mikudeshes, holds like Rebbe, that merely handing it over is enough. So he gave her the instrument, the financial instrument, to collect someone's debt, and that's a full-fledged transaction. So he gave it to her as a marriage, as kiddushin, as marriage money. Umor sova the chomim hold the chomim, but that's umor less lay the Rebbe. The chachomim above, who argued with Rebbe Meir, do not hold like Rebbe. Namely, mesira is not enough. And in the case above, all he had done was Mesira. V'iboyesemo, another approach. Tekule almo less luhu de Rebbe. That Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim both disagree with Rebbe. In other words, handing it over is not enough. V'hocha b'derav popo komifliki. And the Machlokis, Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim, concerns that which Rav Popa teaches. The Omer of Papa, high man, the Zovin Shtar Lechavrei, one who is selling a financial instrument to his friend. We said already, you've got to not only give the financial instrument over, but you have to write an additional shtar. But even that is not the whole story. So that when you're selling a shtar, a financial instrument, a bill of collection to someone else, you have to write Tzarech L'michtav Le'kini Loch Hu V'chol Shibudei. I am selling you the document and all liens that you have upon the one that owes the money. And in the source above, where Rabbi Meir and the Chumah arguing whether or not she's Mekudeshes, he had written an additional shtar mechira, but he did not include the phrase hu v'chol shibudei. He didn't write that v'chol shibudei. I'm transferring to you all of the liens that I had on him as well. Is that effective? More islay derabbapa, the opinion, the chachomim that said she's not mekudeshes. That's because we hold like Rav Papa, and if you leave out the chol shibudei, you've transacted it deficiently. Umor, that is Rebbe Meir, who said mekudeshes, less lay the Rav Papa, doesn't insist on that which Rav Papa taught, that you have to have the chol shibudei written in as well. The Ibo Yasemo, the Kule Alma Islu the Rav Papa. Another approach is that in fact Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim would agree with Rav Papa, and that you can you have to hand over the original bill of collection. You have to write a shtar mechira that says hu v'chol shibudei. If you did all of those things and you gave it to the woman, is she going to be married? Well, v'hocha b'dishmuel kamifligi. There's a machlokes that. That's based on accepting or not accepting Shmuel's teaching. Diomar Shmuel. We continue at the top of the Mem Ches. Hamoich shtar lechayv lechavero v'chazar umachloi mochul v'afilu yorish moichel. Mr. B owed Mr. A money, and Mr. A had a written record of the loan that he made to Mr. B. Mr. A sold the shtar chov to Mr. X. That means that Mr. X now is in the position to collect the loan from Mr. B. One day, Mr. A says to Mr. B, you know, you don't have to pay back the loan. So, Mr. A was moichel. He was the mocher shtarchov. He sold it, the rights of collection, to Mr. X. But one day he then, Mr. A, decided to forgive Mr. B the loan. Not only can Mr. A forgive the loan, but the heir of Mr. A, the yoresh, could also forgive the loan. We're not going to get involved here about what happens to Mr. X. Doesn't he deserve compensation? Look, he paid Mr. A money to collect the loan, and now Mr. B doesn't have to pay back the loan. That is a separate issue. What we're focusing on right now is that the original lender can forgive the borrower of the necessity of paying back the loan. In our story, a man gave the shtar chov to a woman and said, be mekudeshes to me with this. Demor sofar, the continuing the Gemara on the second line from the top, demor islay d'shmuel. The chachomim, who argued with the remeir, the chachomim holding she's not married, they accept Shmuel, his teaching that Mr. A, the original lender, has the power to forgive the loan. And therefore, a woman who receives from a man who was a lender of money, and she receives the shtar, enabling her to collect the loan, but she doesn't have full confidence she's ever going to see a penny of that, because the man that gave it to her, in marriage, the man that gave it to her might forgive the borrower of the loan. Umor, less lay to Shmuel. Rabbi Meir, who says she is mekudeshes, he doesn't accept Shmuel. You can't, once you transfer the loan to someone else, in this case, once you give her the shtar chov, you can't forgive the loan anymore. So she is sure of collecting the loan, and therefore he has given her something of value to her, and she has full smichas das. She has full confidence in her having received something that won't be relieved or forgiven. V'boyesema de kuleyama islahu de Shmuel. Another approach is that everyone agrees to Shmuel that the original malva, the original lender, can forgive the loan. Here, the focus is on the woman, the wife, so to speak. Is she going to be a wife or not? It depends on what is her mindset. Granted, we're saying that in theory, the lender can forgive the loan. However, the analysis continues in the Gemara. Mor Sovar, Rabbi Meir, who holds she is married, Isha Somcha Daita, she has confidence. Meimur Omra, she figures, Lo Shovik Le Ladidi Umocho Le Lachrini. My husband, or the man that gave me this bill of collection as marriage money, he is not going to favor, let's see, literally, he's not going to leave me, meaning favor someone else by relieving Mr. B of the need to pay the money, leaving me high and dry, leaving me without anything. So again, lo shavik le ledidi, he's not going to leave me umochale lachrini and forgive the loan to the borrower. And therefore, even though in theory a lender can forgive loans, he's not going to do it at my expense, says the woman. Umor sovar, the chachomim will hold she's not mekudeshes. Ishanami lo somcha daita, she too does not have confidence that she will ultimately collect the loan, knowing that he, the man, the lender who's trying to marry her, could forgive that loan. B'milveh al peh b'mai pliki. We pointed out that in the source in which Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim were arguing, there were two examples. We discussed up till this point what they might be arguing about concerning the shtar chov. What about the oral loan that others owed this man, and he assigned the rights to the woman in exchange for agreeing to marry him, the rights to collect this milveh al peh? So, b'milveh al peh b'mai pligi, what did Rabbi Meir and the Chumah argue about? B'Rav Huna Amar Rav. Their argument surrounds that which Rav Huna Amar Rav says. D'yom Rav Huna Amar Rav, mono li biotcha. Mr. A says to Mr. B, you know, Mr. B, you owe me $100. Tineu leploni. Instead of giving me the money, give it to Ploni, to Mr. C, who is standing over here. B'mai mitshloshton, where all three are standing, where they're all gathered. Kona. That is an effective means of transacting the obligation. Whereas B was supposed to pay the money to Mr. A, who originally loaned him the money, by Mr. A saying to Mr. B in the presence of Mr. C, instead of you, Mr. B, paying me, Mr. A, I want you, Mr. B, to pay Mr. C. So Rav Huna, Omar Rav says, that works. That means that Mr. B is now obligated to pay Mr. C the money, without any further kinyan. No kinyan sudar, no other symbolic gesture is necessary. Now, in our case, the man said to the woman in the presence of the original borrower, it was an oral loan. No, there's no document of the loan, but Mr. B owes Mr. A money, and there's a woman standing by, and Mr. A says to Mr. B, instead of paying me, I want you to pay the woman. And by paying the woman, by his obligating Mr. B to pay the woman, she will be married to Mr. A. Does that work? So more so far, the Chachomim who said she's not Mekudeshes are of the opinion Ki Koma Rav, Rav's Halocha of Maimed Shloshtan, when the three are gathered together, the redirection of payback is an effective means. Hani Mili Bipikodon, that's when you're dealing with an entrusted article, where Mr. B was given something of Mr. A's to watch, and Mr. A tells Mr. B, instead of giving me back my article that I gave you to watch, give it to Mr. C. So then B has to give the article to Mr. C. Avo milve lo. But Rav never said his halacha with regard to the transfer of a loan, the payback of a loan. Therefore, if a man did this with a woman regarding an oral loan, she didn't get anything. It's an ineffective means of transfer. Umor sover, Rabbi Meir holds that Mekudeshes, he is of the opinion that lo shno milve velo shno pikadon. There's no distinction between a loan and an entrusted article. Just like an entrusted article can be redirected through the Maimed Shloshtan means of transfer, so too a loan can be redirected with this Maimed Shloshtan method, and therefore, being that she is receiving the right to receive the loan money, she will be married. Because Maimed Shloshtan works, according to Rabbi Meir, with regard to Milvez as well. As you can see, we're in the middle of a very long topic, but at the same time we also have the Dafyomi framework in which these Shirim are being recorded. So we're going to have to pause here, understanding fully well that when we pick up a Mirza Shem next time, and we say, name o ketanoi, shall we say that it's a machlokas tanoi? We're going to have to restate, we have to review the point that Rav said, mekadesh b'milvein amikudeshes, shall we say that is a machlokas tanoi? Mirza Shem, we'll pick that up next time. In the meantime, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.